The devil embraced the Son of God. I know this is a shocking statement to make, but stay tuned and listen to me. I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. This broadcast comes to you every week at this time over the station. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll help us with this word of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Our text is from Mark chapter 14. Here Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. And today I shall focus in on Judas, the one who betrayed Jesus. Notice first of all about Judas that he ate of the supper. He partook of it, but he did not sing the traditional hymn which was sung at the end of that supper. He missed the praise section. He knew that there would be a hymn at the end of the Passover supper. He knew that, everybody knew that, it was part of the ceremony to sing from Psalm 113 to Psalm 118. But before the singing of the hymn, Jesus vaulted Judas out of the room, because by this time the devil had entered into his heart. As far as Jesus was concerned, singing a hymn when you have evil in your heart and partaking of the communion is the height of hypocrisy. Jesus does not want anyone who has hypocrisy to take communion, the Lord's Supper. He does not want him to be in his church, the body of Christ. So at the exact moment when Judas took the bread, the devil, the Bible says, entered into him. He ate and drank of the communion unworthily. And do you remember that last week I told you the Apostle Paul said, if you take this Lord's Supper unworthily, sickness and death are coming your way. And so Jesus said to Judas, that thou doest do quickly. In other words, get out of here. Jesus ordered Judas out of the upper room. He excommunicated him from the church. Then, after this, before they sang a hymn, as we read from other Gospels, Jesus gave a long discourse to his remaining disciples. In other words, he gave them the entire 14th chapter of the Gospel of John, which is all about the coming of the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. And then, my friend, as Jesus took his disciples to the Mount of Olives, where they would fall asleep, in that moment, or in that Mount of Olives, just before his betrayal by Judas, Jesus gave the disciples the entire 15th chapter of the Gospel of John. Oh, my friend, even while Jesus was in the heat of the battle, he continued to preach and to teach his apostles on how to live a victorious life through the coming of the precious Spirit of the Lord. So let me ask you, how are you doing when you are in a frying pan? Are you still ministering to others when you are in the mud up to your neck? Are you still ministering to others when the billows and sorrows ride over you? Are you still ministering to others when all your friends forsake you? Or when some of them begin to spit at you? Are you still ministering to others, my friend, when all your acquaintances forsake you? When you hang on your cross, do you still have something positive to put out to both friend and enemy? Oh, what a wonderful Savior we have in Jesus. In the heat of the battle, in the hottest time of his battle, Jesus gave his disciples John 14 and John 15, looking forward to them being victorious and never backing off. This is what the Lord Jesus expects of us, because he said, as the Father sent me, so send I you. My mission is also your mission. It is the ones who have no sense of divine mission, who spend day and night licking their wounds and wallowing in self-pity. If you let God get a hold of you, my friend, you have no time for self-pity, but you'll keep putting out. Now let's look at Judas a little more. Judas naturally expected Jesus to establish an earthly kingdom. He was now the treasurer, and he expected that Jesus would become the king of Israel, that then he, Judas, would sit at his right hand and have control of all the money in the land of Israel. Judas was an opportunist, like many are. But my friend, when he saw that Jesus looked like he was going to falter and fail, when he saw that Jesus, it looked like, would no longer produce anything, any blessings for his earthly desires, he decided to jump ship and join the opposition, the scribes and the Pharisees, who then engineered the death of Christ. So Judas was a man who was for you as long as you looked good, as long as you climbed the ladder of success, as long as you drew a crowd, as long as you looked like a winner. But when he saw the boat sinking, he switched boats. It is when Jesus headed for the cross that Judas' true nature was revealed. Now it showed that he wore and had worn a mask all along. Suddenly, 30 pieces of silver had more meaning to him than the Lord's friendship. And so he betrayed Jesus, and he fulfilled the prophecy by doing so, as we read the prophecy in the book of Psalms, chapter 41. It says there, "Yea, mine own friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat bread with me, has lifted up his heel against me." Oh, dear ones, number one, we find out that Judas took communion, but because he took it as a hypocrite, Satan entered into him. Number two, to review, Jesus told him to get out and stay out. He would not allow him to stay for the singing of the hymn. He excommunicated him. Number three, Judas met Jesus in the Mount of Olives, and he kissed him to betray him to his enemies. So now let's look at verse 45 a little more. It says, "And as soon as Jesus was come, Judas goes straightway to him and says, Master, Master, and kissed him." The Greek meaning is that Judas embraced fervently, embraced Jesus vehemently, and he kissed him, and he kept kissing him, and kissing him, and kissing him. "O thou liar, thou thief, Judas, that thou art." Judas unashamedly kissing and kissing and holding the Savior of the world in his hands. Now scholars tell us another insight. In Jewish tradition and culture, a student would never take the initiative to kiss or to embrace his master, which means that the kissing, the embracing, would always have to be initiated by the master, by the teacher. And so what we see here is Judas' total rejection of the lordship of Jesus. Yes, it says in the previous verse that the devil had now entered Judas. Judas became as Satan, or we can actually say that Satan entered the body of Judas. So what we have here is not just one man embracing another, a student embracing a teacher, but what you see here is literally Satan, through the body and arms of Judas, embracing the Son of God, kissing the Son of God, and rejecting thereby his lordship as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He had no right to initiate this. This means a rejection of the Master. Oh, dear ones, don't we have a subtle repetition here of the slyness of the devil and the rejection of the authority of God, in that same way as the serpent did to Eve in order to entice her in that garden, my friend? And now we have another Garden of Gethsemane where Satan comes again in his slyness and deceitfulness, kissing the Son of God. I can guarantee you that Jesus did not return the embrace of the devil who was now dwelling in Judas, neither did he kiss him. But as the devil had a time, so Jesus did, and that was to let things run their course and do nothing but to endure and to endure until his enemy would become his footstool. Oh, yes. And then there was Peter, of course, thank God. Satan had not entered into Peter. Peter had failed in the battle. He had denied the Lord. He fell asleep in the garden at the time of prayer. But now was the time for Peter to redeem himself. So he took a sword and cut off the ear of Malchus. Well, my friend, I say hallelujah. I do not say hallelujah because it was the right thing to do, but I say hallelujah because this action stands out in glorious contrast to that of Judas. No, it was not the right thing to do, but it was the best thing that Peter knew how to do, and he did it. And Jesus never rebuked him for this, but only instructed him. Judas willfully tried to destroy Jesus, but Peter willfully tried to save Jesus. And that's the difference, a world of difference. I've had people occasionally in my 29 years of ministry who loved me in a similar manner as Peter loved Jesus, and they did this and that to help me, but often it was not the right thing to do. But it was the best thing to do, the best they knew how to do, and many a time an ear was cut off and had to be miraculously put back on. You know what I mean. As we continue our text, after this ear was cut off and put back by Jesus, then it says, then they all forsook him. So, my friend, looking at the whole picture from beginning to end, going back to Genesis, Satan, through deceit and trickery, defeated Adam and Eve, but now in the second Adam who had come, which is Jesus, here, my friend, we see Satan totally defeated and exposed to become the spotless Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. Oh, how wonderful this German song fits in here. Fairest Lord Jesus, beautiful Savior, King of creation, Son of God and Son of man, truly I'd love thee, truly I'd serve thee, light of my soul, my joy, my crown. Fair are the meadows, fair are the woodlands, robed in flowers of blooming spring. Jesus is fairer, Jesus is purer. He makes our sorrowing spirit sing. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this beautiful passage we consider today. And may we be cautious and prayerful, lest that spirit of Judas is found in our hearts. May we not eat and drink of that Lord's Supper unworthily, because it's a serious business. And may we be like Peter, who, rather than putting shame on Jesus and trying to destroy him, that we will do what we can to be 100% on his side, for he's worthy of our total commitment every second of the day. So may we live lives of purity, of enthusiasm, and of strength by the precious Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you for listening to the Called Obedience Radio Ministry. Tune in again next week at the same time on the same station. Goodbye now, until then.